My lesson today will be taken from Matthew chapter 3. I begin at the first verse, and I probably will read down through verse 12. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight." And this same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then came out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat unto the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now that's my lesson for today. And I pray that God will bless his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I mentioned already that we're having a baptismal service this morning. And so I'm going to preach to you a little while, and I won't be very lengthy, I don't think. But I want to use as my subject title, "Shall We Gather at the River?" Shall we gather at the river? My lesson today tells us about a beautiful sight. There were hundreds of people, maybe even thousands of people, that gathered at the Jordan River. There was a strange-looking fella that came out of the wilderness of Judea, and he was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And the Bible says that this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. There are two chapters in the book of Isaiah especially where reference is made to this man. One of them speaks of him as being the voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight." And this third chapter of the book of Matthew that I just read from identifies the person that Isaiah spoke about as being John the Baptist. He had his raiment, or the clothing that he wore, was pretty unusual. It said that his raiment was of camel's hair, and he had a leathern girdle about his loins, and he had quite an unusual diet also, I think, because it said his meat was locusts and wild honey. And it says that then came out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about the Jordan. So this was a huge crowd of people that came out to his baptism. Now, this man John, he had a commission from Almighty God. The Bible says there was a man sent from God. Just as the prophets had prophesied, he also said, "Behold, I will send my messenger before my face, and he shall prepare the way before me." And so the time had come for those prophecies to be fulfilled. And John appeared on the scene. He appeared in the wilderness preaching. And so he was sent from God. And he had a message from God. It wasn't, you know, perhaps what everybody wanted to hear, but it was a message that announced the coming of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was sent to prepare people to enter into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. And that's why he was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, Brother Wayne, when we have baptizings, he likes to sing, "Shall We Gather at the River?" And of course, that river has no reference at all to water baptism, but it has reference to the stream, the water of life, that flows from the throne of God. And we are going to gather one of these days there, according to the Bible. Revelations chapter 21, it tells us, and 22, it tells us about that river that flows from the throne of God. And do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the fountain of life? He said himself, "I am, come unto me, you know, if you're thirsty, and I will give you to drink of the river of life," the water of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this river now was literal water, the Jordan River. And they gathered at the river. And they gathered at the river for a purpose. And that purpose was to baptize those who had repented. We read in Acts chapter 19 where the Apostle Paul said that John preached, and I may have to go over there and look at it, but in Acts chapter 19, it says that in the fourth verse, "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ." Now, we don't have all the words that John the Baptist spoke, but we know he did say, "Repent, for the kingdom of hand is at the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he also said that you need to believe on the one that is coming after me, that is, on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the plan of salvation. The Bible teaches that And Jesus said, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible teaches that it is by grace and it's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we're saved. And so John, you know, his name was John. His name wasn't John Baptist. His name was John. But he had a surname affixed to his name, John. And that surname identified him as to who he was and what he was doing. John baptized in the river of Jordan. And he baptized those who had repented, those who had, the term we use, I suppose, most often is had been saved. Now, some people, they don't use that term anymore. They don't talk about people being saved. They talk about people receiving Christ, you know, or making a decision for Christ. But we're going to still preach that it's necessary for people to be saved. They have to repent of their sins, and they have to be forgiven. And these people that came out to John, they were baptized confessing their sins. They confessed their sins to God and received forgiveness for their sins, and then they were baptized. And that's the order that the Bible teaches all the way through. And so he told them to repent. And you know, that baptism that John was performing, he was administering baptism. He was taking people into the water, and he was burying them, and then they were rising from that water, and that's what baptism is. It is a burial and a resurrection. It is to show forth of what has taken place in the heart of those who repent and believe in Jesus. And so, this baptism, it got a lot of attention. All of these people gathered down there. Some of them, you know, they came from a distance, from places, no doubt, where John had not even preached. And they heard about this. You know, baptism does attract attention, you know. I have baptized in lots of places. I've baptized in creeks and rivers, in ponds and lakes, you know, and in baptistries. And all you need is enough water to bury the candidate. You know, it don't have to be running water. Brother Thompson, don't have to be running water, does it? That's a little inside joke. I might as well tell you since I brought it up. I went to Faith Church in Detroit to pastor, and we had some professions, and so I was going to fill the baptistry up. And so I went over on Saturday, and I turned the water on, and I thought, well, while this is filling up, I'm going over to the house and have a sandwich. And I went over to the house, ate my sandwich, and while I was eating, the phone rang. It was a friend. He said, could you help me a little while? Said, a storm come through here, blowed some shingles off my roof, and bent my television antenna. And I need some help. I said, sure, I'll be right over. Yeah. Well, I went over and helped him get that done, come back, and the phone rang again as one of the deacons, Brother Linhart. And he called and he said, could you go to hospital with me? I've got a friend in the hospital. Sure, just as soon as I shave. I went in there and I turned that water on and I said, water running? And I went across the parking lot at, I forgot the word, mock speed. And I opened the door, and it was just like Niagara Falls. And so Brother Darrell Hicks, Brother Brad Hicks's dad, he said, you know, preacher, you don't have to have running water to baptize. And I could tell you more about that. I've had a lot of criticism, not criticism, but a lot of joking about it. But anyway, they came to his baptism down to the river, you know, and they hadn't heard, you know, about the Lord Jesus except by prophecy, you know. The Old Testament did prophesy of Jesus coming. But John said his coming's at hand. And so they came to be baptized. And John said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who preached the gospel to you? Who told you that you have to repent of your sins and believe in Jesus in order to be saved? And he said, bring forth some meats, some evidence, some fruits of repentance. And don't tell me that you're Abraham's seed. He said, God is able to raise up seed unto Abraham from these stones. And he said, bring forth fruits meat for repentance. And he wouldn't baptize anybody that couldn't tell about being saved. Couldn't tell about the experience of repentance and the experience of being delivered from the condemnation of sin. And but what I started to say was his baptism got a lot of attention. And I've baptized where, you know, a small group from church would go to the baptism, and there would be people, you know, there. Some of them be swimming, some of them be fishing, you know, some canoeing and different things, you know. But when we started singing, they would come near and they would listen. We got their attention, you know. And that's what happened with this. He attracted attention, what he was doing. Attracted attention. And there were people that were listening to his sermon, and there were people that were watching him administer baptism. And so I wanted to share this with you too. You know, this church, nearly 100 years ago, in fact, I guess that this year maybe was the 100th anniversary of the barn meeting that Brother Massey and Brother Sloan had in the tobacco warehouse. And they preached. The meeting lasted 31 days. And they had over 100 people that were saved in that meeting. About 30 of them, I've got the history of the church right here. 30 of those that were saved united with Old Union Missionary Baptist Church. And some of the others, they joined other places now. But this history book says that the day that they baptized those 30 people, right down here at the river, where the State Street Bridge is now, it wasn't there back then. But they baptized right there, and there was over 5,000 people. It is estimated over 5,000 people came to witness that baptizing. You think it got attention? It surely did. The news and the noise of that revival that lasted 31 days with all them people saved, it got attention. And so John... they got attention. And Jesus, he practiced and preached the very same thing John did. He said that you must repent. You must repent. And so John's message was, repent and be baptized. Now, there's two or three verses of Scripture that I just must refer to. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, it says that there went out unto him, that is unto John, all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. They acknowledged their sins to God and got forgiveness of their sins. And their confession was that we have received forgiveness. They had confessed that they had been saved. And John was clothed with, well, I won't go through that. And it says that he baptized. Let me find that verse that I want to read. He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's having reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he preached to them. And here it is, verse 4. This is the one I want. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance. Baptism with reference to repentance. It was not, he preached to them, be baptized in order to have your sins forgiven. But he preached unto them, be baptized because your sins have been forgiven. And Jesus and John the Baptist, they preached the same thing. You know, baptism too is it is referred to in the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. And I might ought to turn over there as well. But I want you to notice this. It said, therefore we are buried with him in baptism. It's a burial. Baptism has been, the doctrine of baptism has been distorted something terribly. And, you know, the Bible doesn't present a choice. You can either be immersed or you can be sprinkled or, you know, whatever. There's no choice. Baptism is a burial. And we're buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now, Sister Day is going to, in a few minutes, I'm going to bury her. And you're going to witness a resurrection right before your eyes. It is symbolic. It testifies as to what has happened to her. She died to sin and was made alive in Christ Jesus. And that's what baptism says, that we've died to sin and been made alive in Christ Jesus. And he went on and said, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. Now, baptism is a likeness of his death. He died, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And he said, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You're gonna see a likeness of a burial and the likeness of a resurrection. And he said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You know, when you get saved, you get a new life. It is life from above. It is eternal life. It is everlasting life. And we should not continue in the ways of sinful living once we've been saved. And so we rise to walk in newness of life. in newness of life. So Jesus told the disciples in the last chapter of the book of Matthew, he told them, he had risen from the dead. Before he was crucified, he said, now, after I'm risen, I want you to meet me on a mountaintop over here in Galilee. And so after he rose from the dead, he told Mary to go tell his disciples to meet him over there where he had told them to. And so they went. And Jesus gave to them the commission, the worldwide commission. He said, go teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe what I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And there he said, go make disciples. You make the disciples through the preaching of the gospel. And they repent of their sins and believe in Jesus and become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, once they've become disciples, then baptize them. You don't baptize them in order to make disciples. They have to be disciples first and then baptize them. And he said, and then teach them to observe the things that I have commanded you. And he said, lo, I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the world. That's what Philip practiced down at Samaria, or down in the desert where he met the Ethiopian eunuch. He preached unto him the Lord Jesus. And when he finished, the eunuch said, what hinders me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And Philip took him down into the water and baptized him. The same thing happened with the Philippian jailer. Don't want to take the time to go into all of that. But that Philippian jailer, he heard Paul and Silas singing and praising the Lord. And the earthquake came, and he came running, you know. His question was, what must I do to be saved? And Paul told him, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And he took them the same hour of the night and fed them, washed their stripes, and they preached the word of the Lord to his household. And the Bible says that they rejoiced and with all of his house. There was rejoicing because of the salvation of the Lord. And he baptized them the same hour of the night after they had been saved. So I will stop right there. I could say a lot more. But I'm so glad and thankful that God made a way for people to be saved. And I'm so glad that God established his church. And I'm so glad that his church is still in the world today. And we're still doing the work of the Lord in the same way John the Baptist did it. And the same way Jesus did it. And the same way the Apostle Paul did it. We preach the gospel. People get saved. And then we baptize them. And they become a part of the Lord's church. And that's what keeps the church in existence. You know, we have to have members added to us. Because members are dying away from us, you know. And so the church, for it to perpetuate itself, must have conversions, and the converts must join the church. And then we all must take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus. And we must work, and we must support our church, and we must do everything that we can. The church is not the last thing that we should do on Sunday, you know. Go to church. That's not the least important thing that we do. It's the most important thing that we do. It is the most important. And so I'm going to close. I'm thankful that Sister Day presented herself for membership in our church, and the church authorized her baptism. So if you will come, Sister Day, we'll retire back here, and in just a few moments, why, we'll appear in the baptistry. Sister Nancy is going to come with her, and Sister Nancy's daddy was a good old-fashioned Baptist preacher, wasn't he, Sister Nancy? He sure was. Yeah. And they're friends, and so she's going to go with her back here to prepare. So you all, Brother Wayne, sing some songs till we get there, okay? That's all right. It's just a pump running. I'm going to turn it off here. That room over there.
Number 89. Wouldn't do not to sing it. Do a verse or two of 181. Draw me near. 181. I am thine. thy precious leading sign. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Somebody raise their hand when they're ready. Verse 3. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
In obedience to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and upon the confession of your faith, I now baptize thee, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. All right, let's turn to 217. 217 as we give her the right hand of fellowship. Some glad morning when this life is over, fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Thank you. 23, nothing but.